Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
FreedomFoodsIndiana.com is here to bring fresh fruits and vegetables right to your door. No need to ever leave the home or deal with the stress that is having to go to the store. FreedomFoodsIndiana.com makes it easy to order fresh fruits and vegetables online with the click of a mouse. I'm Rob Kendall. I love FreedomFoodsIndiana.com, and I know you will too. It's a great way to keep your family eating right without the hassle of having to shop. FreedomFoodsIndiana.com.
Rob Kendall, Jim Merritt, Abdul-Hakim Shabazz, the program is State House Happenings, your weekly look at what's going on with Indiana politics and government. Before we begin the show, let's meet the award-winning panel. You know him from 30 years in the Indiana State Senate, the great Jim Merritt. Hello.
Robert, good morning.
And you know him as the owner and author and the head honcho at IndyPolitics.org. He's an author. He's a broadcaster. He's an attorney. Abdul-Hakim Shabazz, hello.
Good morning, my friend. How's it going?
I'm doing. And you're doing, too. All right, so Monday is the big day. You are headed to court. Why don't you tell our audience, who may not be familiar, what in the world is going on? Because this is insane.
Yes. It is the candidate for Congress in the 7th Congressional District, running as a Republican, Mr. Gabriel Whitley.
Okay.
Who is no stranger to Indiana's court system and judicial system.
Honest Gabe.
Honest Gabe.
Honest Gabe.
And anybody has put the name Honest in their name, that should tell you everything you need to know, because unless you're Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
Honest Gabe's used car dealership. Yeah. With a red jacket. He filed a petition for an order of protection against me, saying that I threatened him, I have harassed him. Let me see, what did he say here? Yeah, Abdul-Hakim Shabazz sent me a threatening letter, and I am asking the court to grant a protective order. And he says this happened on the 24th of February, and he said he got through the mail.
Yeah.
So, but he hasn't produced a copy of the letter that I allegedly
So according to you, he says that you threatened him in some shape, form, or fashion.
Yes. He claims I threatened him, which I, number one, didn't do. And number two, as I was going through his protective order, he says I threatened him on the 24th.
Uh-huh.
However, the petition is actually signed on February 17th.
This is going to be fun court on Monday.
So apparently, Mr. Whitley can see far enough into the future when his wardrobe will be back in style.
Okay. So this is Monday at 2:30, right?
Yes.
This is in Marion County?
Marion County over the Community Justice Center near Southeastern Avenue.
All right. So, Merritt, you and I are going to go tailgate this thing.
We certainly are, and I can't wait.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, somebody can correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know if I've ever actually seen this guy in person before, but I am.
You can't miss him.
Okay, so let's do a little background again. Most people know who this guy is by now, but Indiana Capitol Chronicle had a big expose on this guy. I think it was last month. And by the way, I was told there is another local media outlet who's getting ready to put another piece out on Mr. Whitley here sometime in the near future. But that remains to be seen. So there was a complaint filed against him by both the FEC, the Federal Election Commission, and the Indiana Election Division in regards to this campaign finance report that he had filed, which is one of the most amazing things. Indiana Capitol Chronicle, as we talked about, had this big expose on it. There's donors that can't be found. There's a political consulting firm that can't be located.
There are donations that are done over the federal limits.
Yeah, and to this day, to my understanding, of those donations that were called into question, well, in the complaint and in the Indiana Capitol Chronicle piece, Gabe Whitley has not. I mean, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, Merritt. He has not produced one of these people.
I have not seen a thing. And in Indiana Capitol, Nikki Kelly and her group does such an outstanding job on so many things, and she wrote a really thorough column, or her website did, and it's scary that somebody could make all these accusations that could put all this in writing that's just plain wrong.
As I think I told you guys since we talked about this last time, as my lovely mother say, I hate it when you can't even do wrong right.
Right.
Because it's one thing to have, you know, fake names. It's another thing to have fake contributions. It's another thing to have fake everything all together at the exact same
right.
time.
And because it's like the gum on the bottom of your shoe.
Yeah, you're just basically waving the red flag, here, come get me, come indict me for campaign finance fraud.
Well, that's what's interesting, is because he's accused of some very serious stuff with these related to these complaints with the IED and FEC. And that's bad enough. But now you've got him and these articles. It's not like these articles. They always come out against you in these articles that appear on Newsbreak. Yeah. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Newsbreak is some website that anybody can post to, right?
Newsbreak is just an aggregator. You can post your news stories, your articles on Newsbreak. I've had a couple of my indie politics articles show up on Newsbreak a couple times as well.
But it's not like these articles are coming from Fox 59 or CBS 4 or Wish TV or...
I believe the term you're looking for is legitimate news service.
Right. So this guy is or someone associated with him... is writing these articles, they're throwing it up to this Newsbreak site, and the problem is that then they'll eventually maybe show them in a Google search, or so it takes one person to share them on social media, and these just outlandish things that he's saying.
Oh, I read it. It is scary.
It's crazy, isn't it, Merritt?
Abdul has worked for 20 years for this stellar reputation, and I looked at that, and I was just really floored with some of the language that was being used against Abdul that's totally wrong and totally...
defamatory?
Yeah.
Incomprehensible. Like I lied 15 times during a deposition. I was accused of rape and sexual assault. I was like, I don't think you got me confused with somebody else.
Yeah.
But no, none of this is true. So,
well, this is part of a bigger conversation, which is we've now entered an era, and this artificial intelligence stuff especially, where anybody without shame... can just say or do whatever they want, and there's a puncher's chance. Now, everybody knows what Gabe Whitley is, and everybody knows what he's accused of doing. Well, I'm saying that we're going to hear this by now.
In the political sense.
Right, but there is a chance that, you know, people who don't, if they're wanting to look up, let's say somebody wants to do business with Abdul. Mm-hmm. Let's say somebody, you know, is interested in advertising on your website or using your law services, and they look you up. If one of these articles were to show up, now you've got to put the onus on the person who's looking you up to decipher that you have a person who's accused of really, really serious stuff.
And it doesn't go away.
Right. And this is the world in which we live in now, where unless law enforcement is going to do something about this guy, which hopefully they will, and he seems to be, as you said, waving a red flag saying, look at me, look at me, look at me. But until it happens, this guy can just keep being, I mean, just keep doing this stuff.
And my logic and rationale and my response, because a lot of my close friends, like, if you just ignore them and let them go, it's like, and for the most part, I would, because I've been doing this for 20, 30 years, so I get burned in effigy,
right?
Every day. And that's my wife burning the effigy. However, when he filed a complaint with the Indiana Disciplinary Commission to accuse me of, when we went through our litigation with him back in 2022, saying I threatened him and I bullied him and I should have my law license taken away, and by the way, disciplinary commission, if you don't do his law license, I'll sue you. I'm sure you will, whatever. And when he went after my law license, like, okay, now it's game on. Because now you're trying to take the money out of my mouth and mess with my livelihood. And now I got to get Chicago on you.
Well, and so this is, so you got to go to this hearing Monday where he's trying to get this protective order against you. He's saying totally outlandish things. I mean, at some point, now, we know the IED, IEC, they're looking into him. The FEC was already looking into him even before this complaint. They're looking into him, and they're going to move at the pace they're going to move at. But at some point, whether it's Ryan Mears or IMPD, shouldn't somebody be like, we probably need to...
Well, this is harassment.
It's just ridiculous.
As it says here under his petition, which I have a copy of, it says, I affirm under the penalties of perjury that the foregoing representations are true. Based on my personal knowledge, I've been informed. I believe these facts stated are true. So basically, what Mr. Whitley has done, I have the right here, you can't see it, but you can hear it.
It's there, I'm looking at it.
It's basically committed perjury.
Well, and that's the case you got to make Monday, is because it can no longer be, and Merritt and I will be there. I'm going to try to get Casey to go too. I mean, it's no longer just be, let's just swat this guy down and move on, because he's not stopping.
Right.
And he keeps upping his game, and he keeps saying more and more crazy things. Look, you are a jerk and an a-hole. There's no doubt about that. But you are not a danger to anyone.
Nope. Only the bad guys.
I mean, this is just craziness. And, you know, again, Merritt, I'll turn it over to you. This guy is just trying to ruin your life.
Well, it is. And I saw a lot of this in the 30 years when I was in the legislature, where, you know, constituents would, you know, they're needing help, and a lot of people do, but there are others that come in and are trying to do an end run on government.
Right.
And there's just a lot of evil out there, and it makes it very difficult to help those that need help, and filter through the people that are trying to, you know, wreck the system.
Well, and this is where, and I'm not a lawyer, but I would think if I'm this judge on Monday and she hears shenanigans, is that the word we're looking for? I mean,
a little deeper than that.
Yeah. I mean, when she hears this Monday and you make your case, and then you got the prosecutor's office who is having their time wasted, and you got IMPD who's having their time wasted, at some point, one of these groups, or collectively this group, has to say, enough with you. Mm-hmm. Enough with you, and let's make sure our resources are being used for people who actually need them.
Well, let's put it this way. What I can say right now is both Ryan Mears and IMPD are both quite well aware of what Mr. Whitley has filed, and we'll just leave it at that.
All right, so Mara and I will be there.
We will.
Before I forget, one other thing he did, too, before I forget.
Oh, we could do 2 hours of doing all this stuff.
The latest adventure also this week was his complaint he filed with the Marin County Election Board, accusing me of using my campaign finance funds when I ran for mayor to buy a washer and dryer, and I paid off my car. And, like, okay, really? First of all, I see I can use a washer and dryer because I need to file the money laundering that I do in my backyard. but on the car, I think I was like, really? Okay,
what's next?
I paid off my car in April and August of last year, and my bank account, my mayor bank, only had $300. So how could I pay off that with only $300? Oh, by the way, here, Mr. Election Division, here's a copy, because I paid out my bank account back
right
in Springfield. Yeah. Here's a copy of me paying off my car payment. Here's the paperwork.
Well, but it's just, you have to go to the hassle of doing this stuff. And here's the other problem with this. And if you look, you can look up the guy, correct me if I'm wrong, Abdul, the guy's had multiple judgments against him.
Yeah, like 6 or 7.
And so as part of this, okay, let's say you, through the legal mechanisms, which I think you would have many to respond to this, what are you going to get out of him? I mean, he knows he has nothing to lose.
Oh, yeah.
Because he has lived his life in this manner, and he knows he has nothing to lose. And so, like, what is it a distinguished member of society like Abdul is supposed to do?
Seemingly, Abdul, he's having a great time. He's a glaring nuisance, and that's being kind. He's having a lot of fun with this.
He's a mosquito in a tent.
Yeah.
Can't really do any harm, but it's just more annoying.
Well, but the problem is you don't know what previous harm he might have done.
Yeah, or who he's going to harm next.
And also the thing is, too, is I have the ability and the resources to fight
right,
back.
Right,
and
right,
also, and more importantly, I have most the time.
People, yeah. Right.
And most regular people just don't, because they were like, what's this going on?
No one understands the system.
Yeah, I'll be flustered. Like, no, yeah, I've been doing this for 30 years. I know how to deal with people.
Well, I've heard comparisons, and then we'll get off this and we'll get to session. I've heard comparisons of Gabe to George Santos.
Well, they look alike.
It is interesting, this what appear to be the similarities between these two individuals.
Yes.
All right.
That's why people call him Indiana Santos on social media.
All right. Let's State House Happenings is the program. It's Rob Kendall, it's Jim Merritt, it's Abdul Hakeem Shabazz. So the legislative session wrapped up. And Merritt, I'm going to need you, because you spent 30 years around these individuals. I'm going to need you to help me understand the actions of the governor this past week. So the anti-Semitism bill, which went through all these hearings and all this testimony, and it seemed like all the parties involved, while not thrilled, were not angry. And there was some sort of consensus of, hey, this isn't, you know, 100% great, but it's not horrible. He vetoed that bill, and then he signed a bill that, without any sort of public knowledge whatsoever, now I guess technically there was a hearing, but the hearing in which this was brought up was not advertised as to be about this. This bill that guts the public access counselor. I'm gonna need you to help understand why Holcomb would veto a bill that had near universal support in the legislature, with the testimony, with the outside groups. Yet a bill that had a strong opposition to it, with no transparency whatsoever, he signs that one into law. I the floor is yours.
You're asking a task that I can't answer. I have no idea why these two bills had the end result in the governor's office that transpired. Carol Auslander, who is a lobbyist and a wonderful person, ushered this bill through with the anti-Semitism bill. And this is what short sessions are all about. This is a perfect for a short session where there's no budget, but you can gather everybody in the building, all 150 people in different meetings and leaders. You've got their attention. You had the input of so many different people. I have no idea because, you know, the governor's people are in the building.
Yeah. Don't they ask them, will you sign this?
Yeah. That. And is this signable? I really feel sorry for Carol and the folks that really worked hard on this because it looked like in a very difficult, we have war going on and we have problems on college campuses. And then all of a sudden the governor vetoes it because of some, they didn't add some paragraph or whatnot. I think the legislature probably will override the veto at some point.
So that was going to be my next question, is do you guys think they're going to come back?
I don't think so, because if you look at some of the statements that were made sort of post after the governor vetoed the bill, but this also did the sort of the declaration, executive order about anti-Semitism. I think for most people that was...
The executive order that he wrote right after the veto,
yeah,
you thought it filled in the blanks.
Yeah, filled in the blanks.
Well, because Jeter, the author of this bill? He's this is pretty
Jeter.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then why did you waste everyone's time? This is what I understand, Merritt, and this is what enrages me about these people. You wasted all this time. You could have been doing something like, property tax reform.
Budget
or,
year.
I don't know, figuring out, they ain't going to do nothing next year either, Abdul, but we'll get to that in a second. figuring out this $1 billion Medicaid shortfall. Just nothing. Which would have been the best thing if you people had just not even shown up. Because every time you show up, life gets harder for me. But my point is, you spent all this time on this thing, and then it gets vetoed, and you guys just go, that proclamation's pretty good.
Yeah. Well,
why didn't you just do that?
Yeah, and I don't get that. I really don't get that with all that time spent. And I watched it from afar, and I thought there's a lot of conversation, a lot of input. You've got things on college campuses going on. You've got a war, and everybody's behaving themselves and really putting a lot of work into it. And then a resolution does solve the issue for Speaker Houston. And so you're probably right, Abdul. There probably won't be an override on it. But it is.
Why didn't you just start there?
It's a quizzical moment.
That's all you wanted.
Yeah, and that.
But also Robert doesn't do is that the legislature is a process. It's like an iceberg. Our glacier moves very, very slowly. It contracts and expands the whole nine yards. So, and also lawmakers too. They can also walk and chew gum at the same time.
Can they?
I think they can. They got 150 lawmakers. You know, so many bills out there. So. The process didn't bother me because, like, hey, this is how the process is supposed to work.
Right.
But if that was the end result, was the governor could write a one-page piece of paper and go, here's the proclamation. If that was all it took, why didn't – this is what I don't understand. I'm upset about the process because of the way it ended up. I'm not upset about the legislative process. I get that. But if that was all you wanted, why didn't they go to Holcomb in the beginning going, will you sign this? No.
Because it's a process. And at the end of the day – it takes a while to get to the finished product because you could always say, well, why did you guys do this the first time? Like, well, because we got a process.
This seems to happen a lot.
Of course it does. It's a legislative process.
Okay, let's move on, though, to this this public access counselor thing. This is crazy to me, Merritt.
We talked about this last week. I wrote this law many, many years ago, and Frank O'Bannon was governor. And the whole idea was to have the citizen, the Hoosier citizen, to have an ombudsman to make a decision between local government and a citizen seeking information from that local government agency. And back then, there was so much of a calling for, you know, having be able to get copies of documents like property taxes. But how much would those copies cost? And that was really the access issue that really gave lift to Senate Bill 1 of many, many years ago. And the whole idea behind the law, but behind the bill, Senate Bill 1, was that it would be fair to everybody. The legislature that was going to pass the bill, and the governor that would sign the bill, and it would be a part of the executive branch. And what it would do is that there would be somebody that would be a referee and saying to the citizen, no, this local official's right. He or she can't give you that information, or he can't charge you 40 cents for a copy.
Right.
And so that's really the essence of it. And also, I wrote the bill so that it would cross administration, so that Frank O'Bannon was governor.
I actually love that. Yeah. I think that's great.
Yeah, and the next governor, whoever it was, and it ended up being Mitch Daniels, that it would be fair, and that person would be the access counselor, public access counselor for two years in the next governor.
I love
governor
that
administration,
because that's back when we used to have. Sometimes we have a Democrat governor, sometimes
right.
we have a Republican.
We and want
I love
to be fair.
Yeah, I love that you might be stuck with somebody from the other party.
Right. And it sounds like personalities in the last 20 some years have gotten the way here. And sometimes in government you just need a broker and somebody that would be fair to both sides.
Abdul, you're the gossip king. Why? Of all the things they could have spent their time on, why?
I'm still trying to figure all that out. I've been a little bit proud.
We gave you that assignment.
Yeah, that
a
was your job
ago.
A week ago. What have you been working on?
I know this.
But I mean, what other than you're just mad, you being Aaron Freeman, you're mad about a couple rulings that this guy made, which, you know, we've had Nikki Kelly on, et cetera. And people in the media are kind of like, yeah, sometimes he rules in our favor, sometimes he rules against us, but he's Luke Britt is always very fair.
In the beginning, and until this day, it's about transparency.
Yes.
And the other thing, too, to keep in mind is, regardless of whatever happens with the public access counselor, what Senator Freeman did not affect Indiana's open records law. And you still have courts, we still have a judicial system that if you don't get the records or don't get them in a timely manner, you can still go to court.
Sure, but
and get them. So now, granted, you got to pay a lawyer, which isn't necessarily a bad thing.
Well, yeah, sure. But the point is, a ruling from this guy, while there's no binding nature to it, it really is something you can put out in the public ether and go, look, the referee here said in his opinion, here's what's going on. And a lot of times that will, shall we say, inspire local governments to behave with his ruling rather than forcing you as a citizen to have to go to court and spend your own money and everything else.
Well, it also back then and probably till today as well, as local officials had to get educated. There had to be a knowledge, understanding that their records were important to citizens, and they had to understand what was right and what was wrong and what they could release and what they couldn't. And I don't want to say it was a shadow, but it was a push to make sure the local official knew what they were doing.
FreedomFoodsIndiana.com is here to bring fresh fruits and vegetables right to your door. No need to ever leave the home or deal with the stress that is having to go to the store. FreedomFoodsIndiana.com makes it easy to order fresh fruits and vegetables online with the click of a mouse. I'm Rob Kendall. I love FreedomFoodsIndiana.com, and I know you will too. It's a great way to keep your family eating right without the hassle of having to shop. FreedomFoodsIndiana.com.
All right. The program State House Happenings, Rob Kendall, Jim Merritt, Abdul-Hakim Shabazz. So let's talk about this. This is very interesting to me. Jean Brough died.
Yes.
She was a state senator, a Democrat. Yes. She'd been there a long time, right, Merritt?
Right, yes. And her mom before her. And Jean was a very good friend of mine.
Okay. So, and condolences to her and her family. However, this is a show about politics and government. And the reality is she missed the entire legislative session this past year.
Yes.
Is that correct? All right. So she knew she was in what must have been pretty severe health to not show up to an entire session.
Right. And just recently she had entered hospice.
Right. Mm-hmm. So my point on all this is, and that's horrible, and you hate to see that, and you don't want that to happen to anyone. However, she put her name on the ballot to run for reelection. And not only that, but somebody tried to run against her, and they were kicked off a young college girl who had a track record of voting in Democrat primaries.
But she didn't vote in Indiana. She voted in, like, California.
Because she was there for school.
Yeah.
And She was then kicked off the ballot, which means this woman who knew she was in very poor health now will be on the ballot in the primary, will win the primary, even though she is no longer with us. And now the party will get to a point, and that's going to be a straight Democrat seat. There's no competition on that. It's not like it's up in the air. The party is going to be able to then appoint in July her replacement to be on the ballot in November. That means those people are going to have representation for 4 years that they didn't vote on in a primary. That doesn't sit well with me, Merritt. Am I just an ogre or what?
Well, you're kind of an ogre.
But, that's crap, right?
But as well as the seat is empty.
Right.
So they're going to have to fill the seat within 30 days to serve out the rest of Senator Breaux's term.
Right.
And so this has situations attached to it, and you can't legislate everything. And so it's sensitive, and it's very tough to talk about in this.
The other thing too is the deadlines in the process, which actually was my weekend project, because as soon as we get done here, I have to email my friends at the Indiana Election Division, like, hey, we're explaining to me once again, if a lawmaker dies in office prior to a primary, explain to me what is the process to replace them. Not only because, like Jim said, 30 days to call a caucus, that's the easy part.
Yeah.
The question is, okay, so what do you now, if the person passes away in office, you caucus another person to take their place on the ballot?
And I guess it's like, you obviously don't want anyone to pass away. And maybe in her mind, she thought she was going to get better. But if there comes a point where, look, she was long in years. I don't think that's being disparaging to anyone.
She was relatively young.
Was she?
Yes.
I thought she was all, like, what do you mean? Like your age, relatively young?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, come on now, Merritt.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say is she was not 30 years old.
No.
Okay.
Correct.
Right. That's what
I'm
saying.
64, everybody.
I'm not trying to say she was Methuselah or anything,
right.
But I'm saying if you're an older person and your health is so poor that you cannot conduct your duty for several months as a lawmaker, then don't you have some sort of onus to say, wait a second, if I can't even do this job and I know I'm up for re-election, then isn't there some obligation to say to the people, hey, you deserve the right to vote on your consent? Because that is my thing on this, is this person's going to serve 4 years and no one will have ever voted on them in a primary. And they kicked that poor girl off the ballot,
who clearly was
a Democrat.
They wouldn't have voted for her in a primary, but they will be able to vote for her in the general election, whoever the replacement is.
But look, you are friends with all these people. I'm not friends with them. Your friends down the street here have so gerrymandered the districts that, Ronald Reagan could arise from the grave tomorrow and not be able to win that district. Whoever the Democrat nominee is going to be the representative.
Yeah, but that district really wasn't necessarily gerrymandered for Democrats, because it's Indianapolis near East Side, so it would have been Democrat regardless.
That's my point, though. The election is in the primary.
Correct.
There is no contest in the general election. So the people will not have a say on who that person is going to be.
We see, but theoretically, even if Gene were still with us, they could vote for in a primary, but shouldn't have an opponent, because remember the woman who ran against her didn't vote in Indiana
but
primary.
But that's my point, Abdul. Is clearly that clears the field when the incumbent, Merritt, back me up on this. It clears the field when the incumbent is running again.
Yes.
It's an incumbent who has won multiple times, and she. I mean, come on. If your health is so poor, and you know this by the February deadline, she clearly had not been to work for a month, then come on, don't you have some sort of onus to go, hey, I'm gonna try to finish out this term and then step aside and let... I mean, I just feel people have been robbed of the right to have representation.
Yeah, I don't know when her illness hit her. It was December. Having the date lines of exactly when she filed and when she got sick it came as an enormous surprise to me that she was entering hospice.
Jim Merritt, Abdul Hakim-Jabbaz, you're the best. Thank you.
FreedomFoodsIndiana.com is here to bring fresh fruits and vegetables right to your door. No need to ever leave the home or deal with the stress that is having to go to the store. FreedomFoodsIndiana.com makes it easy to order fresh fruits and vegetables online with the click of a mouse. I'm Rob Kendall. I love FreedomFoodsIndiana.com, and I know you will too. It's a great way to keep your family eating right without the hassle of having to shop. FreedomFoodsIndiana.com.
Rob Kendall, Abdul-Hakim Shabazz, Jim Merritt Program, State House Happenings, your weekly look at what's going on with Indiana politics and government. Don't forget, you can find Jim Merritt on Twitter at @Jim_Merritt, at @Jim_Merritt. Abdul-Hakim Shabazz on Twitter at @ATTYAbdul, at @ATTYAbdul. Me, I'm on Twitter at Rob M. Kendall, at Rob M. Kendall. And you can hear me weekdays 9 until noon, the Kendall and Casey Show on 93.1 WIBC. For Abdul-Hakim Shabazz, for Jim Merritt, I'm Rob Kendall. You've been listening to State House Happenings.